From WNYC New York Public Radio, I'm Leonard Lopate. This is just one segment of the Leonard Lopate Show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
We continue our anti-pundit coverage of the midterm election results with Joe Randazzo, assistant editor of The Onion, and Joe Garden, the features editor of The Onion. They join me now to discuss the 2006 campaign and what lies ahead. I'm very pleased to welcome them to my show with a bit of trepidation, because when I say Joe, both of these guys are going to answer.
Right. If you prefer, you can call me JJ. That's what they call me at the office. The kids at the office do.
Really?
Yeah, we're always calling him JJ.
Yeah.
So, JJ, what are you looking forward to in the new Congress?
I think this is going to be an exciting time of building fences and mending fences and building bridges, because it kind of has to be at this point. I think it was sort of like a firebombing that occurred, and now they have to sort of reach out to extend the withered hand of friendship and just give it a few good pumps.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joe, what do you think the president's press conference at 1 p.m. will accomplish? Do you think it'll set the tone for the next couple of years?
I think it'll be tearful, anguished. It may set the tone insofar as he has no choice anymore.
Well, in his first press conference after he won re-election in 2004, the president said he had political capital and that he was going to spend it.
Oh, sure.
Well, I mean, what did he spend that capital on? Do you know?
I think, speaking back to that, it was really in poor taste at that when he gave that speech that he chose to go woo and streak across the stage. I thought that was really not the move of a graceful winner. I think he spent the capital on a
hot tub. Nice new hot tub in
right.
the West Wing.
And a Camaro. But a well-detailed
it's
Camaro.
It's a sweet Camaro.
A sweet Camaro. The presidential Camaro is awesome.
Bulletproof, I understand.
It is a bulletproof Camaro because, I mean, he had to get it made in Germany. That's the thing about this Camaro. It's so awesome.
Many Republican candidates try to avoid being linked to the president. How did that strategy work?
It unfortunately, you know, Lincoln Chafee, who built his whole career on trying to distance himself from the president, I don't think the strategy worked very well for him, unfortunately.
I kind of liked him. He had this forlorn puppy dog look.
Yeah.
That I thought the sympathy would just carry him through, but it did not.
No, I almost voted for him, but unfortunately it would have entailed moving about a year ago to Rhode Island and then registering, but it's too late now.
One Florida candidate didn't even show up at a campaign rally where President Bush was scheduled to endorse him.
Right, but Catherine Harris did show up at that rally and was not allowed on stage with Jeb and George. George W., I should say.
I think that is one interesting thing. As much progress as Democrats have made here in this election, I think with Catherine Harris's loss, it just shows that America's still not ready to elect the mummified remains of Catherine Harris.
Well, she said that only Christians should be elected, and then later, I guess, to rectify that, she made a comment about feeling Jewish.
Right. She's good at recanting. I mean, she's definitely strong enough of a politician and strong enough of a human being that she can embrace her mistakes and learn to shut up about those mistakes, or sort of learn to publicly recant them in a very fluid and efficient manner. She's
and that's
fantastic.
That's unusual for politicians, don't you think, the recanting?
Oh, I mean,
unless they're doing wine and then they do decanting.
Yes. There wasn't much recanting. I mean,
politicians are afraid to recant. It suggests that they made a mistake somewhere down the line.
Right.
And that's a big problem for many people with the Iraq War.
Right. I mean, I think that the New York election really sort of proved something and that is that Americans, that New Yorkers really support the war and support anti-flag burning and support moves against video game violence.
Terribly concerned about video game violence with the election of Hillary Clinton, of course.
Right. It's a very
major platform.
It is.
Planks.
Yeah. It is definitely. It's definitely a lot more. I mean, there's. We may wear our as New Yorkers, we may wear liberal colors on our sleeves, but it's really the conservative down home issues that really got us to the polls this time around.
Namely video game violence.
Namely that, of course. It's disgraceful.
Senator and 2004 presidential candidate John Kerry tried to help out Democratic candidates over the weekend.
So education, if you make the most of it, you study hard, you do your homework, and you make an effort to be smart, you can do well. If you don't, you get stuck in Iraq.
Now, he said that he just told the joke poorly. As writers of comic pieces, how does John Kerry rate as a joke teller?
He should leave the jokes to us.
Right.
Take my wife, for
please.
Example.
Yes! I love that bit. Yeah. We should do that
bit
right
classic.
Now. It's a classic. Yeah, it's really an unfortunate... It sort of baffles me that he could try to pull that off after the fact I just forgot a word. I mean, maybe he did forget a word, but even so, it's not the kind of sentiment you want to be expressing... you know, you don't want to be expressing the sentiment, even tongue-in-cheek, that our troops are dumb.
Well, in his defense, though, that was taken a little bit out of context, but his aristocrats bit was really killer.
Oh, that
really was good.
That really just that dropped him dead. They were rolling.
But that doesn't get any press.
No, nobody talks about nobody talks about the times he got the laughs when he killed.
But Dick Cheney... stayed in college so they didn't have to go to the Vietnam War.
He stayed in several colleges. he actually went to I believe he went to my alma mater and of University of Wisconsin Madison. And we both actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think we both dropped out of University of Wisconsin Madison. Maybe he got his master's there. I can't remember.
So, yeah. Is there a political future for you then, JJ?
I don't have any political inklings at this point. I actually am running for the host of Late Night in 2009. But that's a different, you know, that's not yet a democratically elected position. So is there a future for me in politics? Possibly. But it's up to the American voter to make a call. I'll listen to the call.
Well, first it's up to the American voter to learn who you are.
Right.
And then to find something for which you're
qualified,
and then to possibly vote for you.
Right.
My guests are Joe Randazzo and Joe Garden, two editors of The Onion. And by the way, the most recent book published by The Onion is The Onion Presents Homeland Insecurity, which is from Three Rivers Press. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Exit polls revealed that scandals were more important to voters than the situation in Iraq. And there were a lot for Republicans, Tom DeLay, Mark Foley, two Pennsylvania House candidates. One had to admit to an extramarital affair. Another saw his sister's house raided by the FBI. Was there a particular scandal that stood out for you? One that tipped the balance? Back?
These were some great old school scandals this year. It was really hard to pick just one.
It really was like a bouquet of flowers. You can't say which is your most precious flower because they all look so good in the arrangement. The Jack Abramoff thing, I think, as far as like just far-reaching scandals, you know, anything that would bring down Tom DeLay, pretty delightful. But Mark Foley,
that's got to be the best.
I think Mark Foley is definitely the.
It's a love story.
It is. It's a love story between of unrequited love, by and large, between a man and his pages.
The candidate who stood in for him had a campaign slogan: "Punch Foley." There was a punch ballot.
Nancy, that's clever.
Do you think that Nancy Pelosi's image has been damaged? You think she'll be able to be effective as Speaker of the House because of all the fright ads that the Republicans ran trying to get people to not vote for Democrats?
I don't think a lot of people, I mean, I never saw any of the fright ads. I don't know. I don't know what the fright ads were exactly. Nancy Pelosi is the devil. If you vote for her, you are voting for Satan. I think that was one of them.
She's a Satanist.
Oh, that's right. She is.
I think she looks a little nervous. She seems to me a little shaky,
jittery.
Yeah, jittery, like a spooked horse.
It's the devil's influence.
So I'm not sure if I trust her.
Do you think she would be less effective than Dennis Hastert was, or was he a victim of his own folly?
I just can't imagine the Democrats being terribly effective at anything.
I mean, they've had a lot. I mean, they've had a long time to sort of gear up for this, and now that they've actually achieved power, now it remains to be seen whether they'll actually be able to stop the party and start getting down to business.
I imagine there's just going to be a lot of pillow fighting for the first 6 months or so.
I'm on the floor. I'm hoping to get in on that. If I can get my press credentials.
The Onion recently reported President Bush's call for Democrats to participate in a special mission. Do you have any idea whether Democrats answered the call?
Some did.
Some, but fortunately they were in predominantly Democratic states such as New York and the Chicago area, so it really didn't tip the balance of power very, very much.
Yeah.
We have yet to hear from them. If you have any idea of their whereabouts, let us know.
Yeah, if anybody knows, please call.
Right, we're trying to write a follow-up story, and it's very hard to do without our interview subjects.
Well, you posted something from the president's most recent weekly radio address on the Onion's website, where President Bush warned about Democratic terror comforters and troop haters taking control of our legislature. Why do you think that message didn't really resonate with the voters?
I think it did resonate, and I think that an overwhelming majority of Americans hate America.
And hatred really won the election this time around.
Yeah, hatred was the big winner.
Hatred and anger.
But are you people to be trusted? In 2004, you reported that the Republicans had a plan to privatize the 2006 elections.
There still needs to be some headway made there. I think that's one of the big things. That electronic voting as well worked so well in 2000 and 2004.
Right.
The Republicans really need to work some of these kinks out if they have any hope at all of taking back the White House in 2008.
Right.
You did see the story about the guy who forgot to turn on the machines.
Yes, the story, and then the machines that had the wrong software and. You know, I mean, these are things that that unfortunately were easily rectified, and they need to be. There needs to be a little bit more entangled mumbo jumbo in order.
Yeah,
to keep
well,
these
they're
things
more elaborate.
They're embarrassing things. South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford, who did win a second term, was turned away from the polls because he hadn't brought his voter ID.
Whoops.
He did have a rough time at the end of his campaign. Over the weekend, he had to rest after his eyes were bothered by the lights at a campaign event. So I guess campaigning is a hazard to some candidates' health.
If you do it wrong.
I can sympathize with that. Yeah.
Dick Cheney has been spotted using hand sanitizers on the rope line at various events.
Bad for your skin.
It really dries it out. I mean, and the thing is, people will ultimately, if Cheney wants to continue a career in politics after this administration is done, he's going to cut back on that because it's really, if you've ever shaken a cold, dry hand like Dick Cheney's, it's just a. It turns you off.
Chilling.
So I should sanitize my hand after I've shaken.
Yes, because I'm sure it's swarming with. I will say that he is one of the undead that has managed to achieve political power.
That's true. There's still a lot of progress to be made, but yes,
right.
Chelsea Clinton was told that she wasn't on the voter rolls. You see anything ominous in that?
Is she old enough to vote?
Yes, of course she is.
Oh. She's like 16.
It's like we grew up with her on television.
She's always going to be 16.
She's always going to be 16 to us. Especially if she comes back for a second season.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything ominous about that. I think that I think that she was probably able to make one or two quick phone calls and have the situation adjusted. A lot faster than, say, I would have if not for the fact that I live in a relatively small precinct where it's like Cheers, where everybody knows your name in my precinct.
JJ!
Hey, what up?
That's a lot of the Democrats who won last night spoke about change, including Joe Lieberman, who was reelected for a fourth term.
People across the country are sending a message to leaders of both major political parties. Yes, they want change.
So, isn't that what his opponent said in that election?
Yeah, it definitely seems like an odd person to be extolling the virtue of change, considering he was very much, that's why he was rejected in the first place by the by the Democratic in the Democratic primaries. But I mean, he won. He can say whatever he wants at this point. Mm-hmm. He can stand up and he could just call for all supporters to drop their pants, and
they will.
And they will, because they love Joe Lieberman. And Joe Lieberman is the kind that would probably do it, and he would take advantage of that situation.
It's a strange result in that election. It did sort of reminds me of a slapstick scene from a French farce with everybody switching places and hats.
While Yakety Sax plays. That's more Benny Hill than French farce.
Sure. Well,
Well, the president now will be a lame duck president for 2 years. He seems to already be turning his attention to something other than politics. The Onion reported that President Bush has recently set his sights on creating the perfect romantic comedy by 2009.
Well, I think he's devoting a lot of taxpayer money to doing that and subsidizing. You know, even though he's not technically a tax and spend kind of guy, he really does see the importance of a good romantic comedy, and he sees how it can be a unifier for our country, because he is a uniter, not a divider, as we all recall. And the romantic comedy is where we should be funneling our tax dollars, and I think it's great. I think he's already on the phone with Julia Roberts. I think she can recapture some of her Pretty Woman magic, and you know, I don't think he's going to direct. He knows his limitations as president.
I mean, that's what he wants to do.
I mean, he does. He definitely has his eye on it, but he's going to. You know, I think common sense.
Do you think
he'll
have Dick Cheney direct or Donald Rumsfeld?
Right now, my money's on Rumsfeld.
He has this manly sort of romantic comedy physique.
Yeah, he never sits down.
He's a romantic, and so who better to direct romantic comedy than a romantic at heart, Donald Rumsfeld?
It's estimated that $1.4 billion was spent on this election, which makes it one of the most expensive in history. Do you think it was money well spent?
Not enough.
Not enough money.
No,
the Republicans spent really a pathetic
$559 million. That's barely half a billion.
What are they expecting? Did they expect to get any votes only spending, you know, little more than half a billion dollars?
But they had all these other things. They had an incredible machine. You know, the get out the vote programs that they've developed have been very effective.
Well, I think they're most I think
Procter
really
and Gamble had this thing where they were calling people and asking them whether they went along with certain things, whether they could hit, you know, either one or two on their phone, just as you do when you're buying something. And that was seen as very effective in Ohio, even though, I guess, the Republicans lost most of the seats in Ohio.
Well, I think that the problem is that while they had that machinery running well, they had some of their other machinery, you know, some of their other tactics really sort of fell by the board. I mean, yes, there was some calling of minority neighborhoods and telling them that they would be that you would be arrested at the polls and that you would be.
That's pretty standard, though.
It's so people are so used to that by now. They need some in order to revitalize their strategy. They need some really good illegal tactics, something just so cutting edge that nobody has thought about it before. I think that's really that's what we can look forward to in 2008, something that will just come out of left field and just sew it up for the Republicans.
You really give us something to hope for, and I thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leonard.
Joe Randazzo, assistant editor at The Onion, and Joe Garden, the features editor at The Onion. Their most recent book, by the way, other than their regular publication, The Onion, is The Onion Presents Homeland Insecurity, which is published by Three Rivers Press. And it's been a real pleasure finding out what really happened yesterday with the two of you.
Well, the mainstream media doesn't want you to hear, so I'm glad you were here to let us spread the truth.
Thanks for listening to the Leonard Lopate Show from WNYC, New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.